Well, I'm going to had a stirring to do something, well, maybe a few lessons, but we're still sharing on this theme that the Lord put in my heart a few months ago. In Him we have. And we've looked at a few things. In Him we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness or the remission of sins. And we've looked at a number of things. We've looked at healing. We have healing. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And it also says that God made Him, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be what? Made the righteousness of God in Him. So we have, because of Him, we have righteousness. We've been made right with God. He's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So I want to look at something also today that stirred my heart. We may do a few lessons on this, and it would be good to, maybe we'll put that out in the lobby to buy. I didn't load this in here. What's wrong here? Sorry about that. Let me take a second here and load this file here. Take 1 second. But I wanted to look at today something that we have, and that's the name of Jesus. We've been given that name. We are called by that name. And so I wanted to look at that, and there's a couple of great books. Brother Hagin has a book called The Name of Jesus, and he pretty much quotes, and of course he writes in his book that he got permission from E.W. Kenyon's family after he passed to literally just use that book, make reference to it in his book, quote him, and he taught literally line by line out of that book. He said, he said, the revelation that he received on the name of Jesus, he said, I cannot improve on that. So I'm just going to teach line by line out of his book. You don't have to get somebody, if revelation's been received, use it. Feed on it. So I wanted to just look at that and let's feed upon that a little bit today because, as E.W. Kenyon puts it, and so does Brother Hagin, that the church has not really walked in the, and used the name of Jesus to the measure that it should. And a lot of that has to do with the revelation of that to the church. If they actually knew what they have, they would walk in it. So I think for all of us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word is not logos. When it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, it doesn't say the logos of God. It says the rhema of God. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. What is that? Revelation. So when anybody says, well, I don't know about faith growing, well, the Bible talks about exceeding growing faith. If revelation can increase, When revelation is there, faith is there. So when revelation expands or increases, so does faith. But faith without an action is dead. So when you see something, you need to act upon it. You know, that's why a lot of times, and I'm back to the media team here now. Don't laugh. But a lot of times when people see that they should serve, they may believe that they're supposed to serve and know that they're supposed to serve, but they don't. Because of whatever reason they come up with. I got this, I got this, I can't, da-da, 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 and they don't. And I'm just using that as an example. It could be something else. But when we see something or God reveals something to us, we have to act upon what we see. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Ephesians chapter 1. So once the eyes of your understanding are enlightened to something, maybe it's something God is instructing you to do, or he's showing you something in the Word of God, then we act upon it. You know, I was reading something, I read every day, health food and faith food, and Brother Hagin was talking about committing your works unto the Lord. Not worrying. And he said, the Lord began to deal with him and said, well, you know, he said, I committed to the Lord. If I see it in the Word of God, I will act upon it. I will do it. He said, but I wasn't doing that in this particular area. He said, I worried about things. And the Lord began to deal with him about that, and he said, that he committed not to worry, to cast the care of something over on him once and for all. Not just for a week, not for 2 weeks or a month or a year, but once for all. And you go, ooh, that's a hard one. Because we're all trained to be concerned about something and to really worry about it. What am I going to do about this? What about this? What about this? Oh my God, what am I going to do about that? So we worry. So what does that mean? We're not acting upon what the Word tells us to do. Yeah, but you don't understand. Well, I guess maybe you don't know that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's concerned about what we're concerned. Don't you think he knows that you're concerned about it? He knows what you're thinking. And so those that are in faith, what does it say? Rest. And I'm sharing all of this in light of the name of Jesus. Because if we knew the value of that name, we wouldn't worry. We wouldn't worry. Do you ever think about this? The name of Jesus was given to the church. It was conferred upon the church. And so, in the world's terms, we've been given the power of attorney. Is there anybody in here that doesn't know what that means? I mean, be honest, if you don't, then you don't know what it means. I'll explain it. If you have the power of attorney, that means you have the legal power to speak on the behalf of someone else that you've been named to speak on the behalf of. You have the legal right. You could have the power of attorney for their health. You could have the power of attorney for their finances. You could have the power of attorney so it, in the world, it can be compartmentalized or it could be limited to some particular area. But when you have the power of attorney, that means you are speaking. You have the legal right to speak on the behalf of another person. And the church, when Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, he said, "All power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." So he was giving us the legal right to speak on his behalf. He was giving us the legal right to speak on his behalf in his name. That name in the world has been bandied around. People curse that name. They just wing it around like a four-letter word. So the value of that name has really been degraded in the world's eyes. And so even if we're not careful, we can just say, "Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, bless in the name of Jesus." It's almost like a rabbit's foot for some people. But that name, the value of that name, or the power of that name, is based on what's back of it. What's back of it? All of deity. What did he say? He was given a name that's what? Above every name in heaven and in earth and under the earth. That at what? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And his word, this was Jesus speaking. His word is spirit and life. And his word is eternal. And he watches over his word to perform it. So when we look at even Matthew, let's turn over there. I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but let's look at Matthew 18, and then we'll go back and start back. But when we look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19 and 20, in the King James, it says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Then what does it say? "For where two or three are gathered together," what? "In my name, there am I in the midst of them." But what does it say? When they're gathered together in his name, there am I. So when we speak that name, he's there. All of the power that Jesus had, all of the authority that Jesus had when he was here in the earth during those years he was here, all of the power, all of the authority that he had is in that name. So when we use that name, he's there. His power and authority is there. I'll tell you, sometimes you have, one of the things that we know is that as you meditate in the Word of God, the revelation and the light from the Word of God begins to have an impact on what? Your spirit. So if you meditate more on this, this is what Brother Hagin said. He said, we have not delved into and meditated on and studied on the name of Jesus to the degree that we should have. And he said, as we do, more light and revelation will come and we will walk in a greater degree of revelation of that name. So we have, so when it says here, for where two are gathered, two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Now, in the context of this, he's really talking about prayer. He's not necessarily, and I'm not saying it's not true, but he's not talking about, oh, when we gather together, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. Well, that is true. He is. We're gathered in his name, but he's really talking about prayer agreement here. That when we pray in his name and we agree as touching anything, he's there to do what? Put his agreement on it. He's there to endorse it. That's what this is saying. In my name, there am I in the midst of them. So now let's go back. Let me just start this lesson because I got off on, we'll share some other things. But let me go back to Mark chapter 4 and let's read this in the Passion Translation. Mark chapter 4 verse 24 and 25. Mark chapter 4 verse 24 and 25 in the Passion Translation. I think this says it in a way that can have application in any area. It says, then he said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear, for as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. So we need to do what? Hunger and thirst. Long to understand his word. And then in verse 25 it says, for those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. Well, Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of his word bringeth light or revelation. So we have to have an open heart to receive. And when we do, this is a lifelong goal. I'm hungering after God. I'm seeking him. If you're taking 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, do 15. Take time, quiet time, to just feed upon his word. Have an open heart. Say, Lord, I love you. I want to know more about you. And this area of the use of the name of Jesus is so vital, because when it says all power and all authority, Jesus says, I have all power and authority. Well, let me ask a question. Was it for his benefit? I'm going to ask again. Do you think it was for his benefit? No. I mean, what? He's in heaven. It's for the church. It's for the benefit of the church. We're here. We're dealing with demons and devils, right? We're dealing with things that confront the church, the things that come upon this earth, the issues that confront societies. People are waiting for God to do something or for some law. You know, the thought came to me when we were praying recently on a Wednesday. I said, you know, sometimes it was just something that came up in my mind when we were praying. We were in this atmosphere and it fluttered up and I went, maybe we're praying wrong about this. Sometimes, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's just food for thought. We keep praying for the laws to be changed. And we go, oh yeah, praise God. We want the laws for abortion to be changed. We want the laws for, you know, this to be changed. And we're praying that the laws be changed. God is looking for people's hearts to be changed. And I said, we keep praying for laws to be changed. And I said, unless there's changed hearts, you can't legislate righteousness. So we need to be praying that hearts change, that hearts be open to the gospel. Because when hearts change, laws will flow right in with it. And I said, I wonder if we're just going about this the wrong way. We keep praying, oh, we're going to bombard heaven for the laws to change. Well, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for that, but what I am saying is if your focus is on that rather than people and hearts, it is wrong. Because God died for people. He wants to reach people. What did he say in 1 Timothy 2? He said that God would have what? All men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. He didn't talk about laws. He talked about hearts. People being saved. And so that's why when we talk about the name of Jesus, it says, all power was given unto him in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make what? Disciples of all men. We should be sharing the gospel and being a light in his name. And the question becomes, do you have possession of that? Because in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John talked about the man who was lame at the gate, beautiful. He was crippled from his mother's womb, right? And he said, Peter fastened his eyes upon him. He said, look at us. Or he said, look at me. And he said, silver and gold have. That means have I none. That means he didn't have anything. He was not in the possession of money. But he said, such as I have. have, give I thee. So he knew he had something to give. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So he knew he had possession of, he had ownership, or he had an ability. He possessed the name of Jesus. Why did he know that? Because before Jesus left, he said, you go therefore in my name. And they did. So for us, it's feeding upon that. That charge was given by Jesus, not just to the disciples, but to the church. Right? I mean, let's take a quick look at that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, just to remind ourselves, verse 17 in the King James. Verse 17 through 23, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, wouldn't you think that that revelation in the knowledge of him would also be revelation in the knowledge of the name of Jesus? Absolutely. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling is, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's all part of the name of Jesus. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? See, this is, they knew this. There's exceeding greatness of power in his name to those who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put. Now, isn't it interesting? What is hath? Past tense. He has put all things under his feet. That means that there's nothing that you are confronted with in the use of the name of Jesus that isn't under it or beneath it. And it goes on, and gave him to be the head over all things to what? To the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, if they could put up Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, just 22 in the New Living Translation. This makes it a little clear. It says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ, or you could say under the authority of the name of Jesus, and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. So we have the name of Jesus, and it's for the benefit of the church, so that we can go forth and do what? Reach people with the gospel in the name of Jesus, and make disciples of all men, casting out demons in his name, laying hands upon the sick in his name. In his name. So when we cast out demons in his name, it's as if I'm speaking as a power of attorney, and I'm speaking on his behalf just the same as if he were here doing it. No different than if he were laying hands upon the sick, I'm laying hands on the sick in his name. So all the power and authority that Jesus had when he was here is in that name. So we can rest in that it's not your ability, it's his ability, his authority that's operating in and through you. Right? Well, that's exciting. Because what that means is, always remember this. When we use the name of Jesus, we can't use it over someone's will. They still have a will. God died for all mankind, but he left it up to you to receive him. You have the world, every man has been legally redeemed. And now they can approach God through Christ and receive that. But it's still their will involved. So when we pray the name of Jesus, we can use that name against things that go on in this earth. So when we're looking for change, God is looking for us to do what? Pull down strongholds that are controlling or hindering the gospel. He wants us to do what? Take authority, his authority, over demons and devils that have taken control of people, cities, neighborhoods, governments, and he's saying, you come down in the name of Jesus. Because what does it say in 2 Corinthians 4:4? It says, God, the God of this world who hath blinded the minds of those that are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. Right? He's blinded those that are lost. And he's also blinded some that are not lost. So we need to, the church needs to use that name and take that name and operate in that name and not live beneath that privilege. You know, you just think about it. If you were given the power of attorney and you didn't operate in it, somebody would think there's something wrong with you. Because you have a court document, a legal document that's maybe been notarized that gives you the right to speak on the behalf of that individual. And when you speak, those that listen to you say, okay, we'll carry those wishes out. We will do that. Right? Well, this says here, think about this. Let's look at John 16. This is Jesus speaking. John 16. Let's look at this in the Passion Translation. John 16, 23 and 24. It says, for here is the eternal truth. When that time comes, You won't need to ask me for anything. But instead, you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Woo! Oh boy! Just because you have a relationship with him, with Christ, you can ask in his name. Oh boy. So there's some privileges with relationship. And it goes on. Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. But now you can ask and keep on asking him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. See, the devil keeps trying to get us off track and look at the mountain. He's wanting us to take the name and speak to the mountain. Command it to be cast into the sea. And do what? Don't doubt in your heart that the things you say will come to pass. In his name. I believe God is stirring the hearts in the church to rise up and walk in and operate in the name of Jesus. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The more we meditate on this, the more we get stirred in our hearts. Let's go back and look at, I like this in Matthew 28. I know I referenced this, but I want to look at this again. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And then I want to just look at the Amplified Classic in verse 19. But Matthew 28, and this is the New Living Translation. We're going to put up Matthew 28, 18, 19 and 20 in the New Living. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in where? Heaven and on earth. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. Be sure of this. I am with you always. What? Even to the end of the age. See, that makes us think of Matthew 18, 19. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Well, this says here, if you go in his name, he said, be sure of this, I am with you always. Said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that means there's never a time that he's not with you. Now let's look at this at Matthew 28, 19 in the Amplified Classic. It says, go then and make disciples of all the nations. Now look at this. It says, baptizing them into, not in, into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. For it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. I've been baptized into the name. So when I go and I operate, I'm going as Him. I'm going in His behalf. I'm going at His direction, His instruction. Right? You know, I'm thinking of this. Maybe they could put this up in the New Living Translation, Matthew 18, 17 actually. Is it 17? I think it's 17 or 18. I just got done sharing this, Matthew 18, 18 and 19. But let's look at, is that the scripture I want? Well, let me move on. I've got something else to share. But anyways, let's take a look one as we close here. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 in the King James and verse 12. Ephesians 3:12. In the King James, it says, In whom we what? We have. It is not a feeling. In whom we have what? Boldness and access with confidence. How? By the faith of Him. Remember we just got done reading? We can ask anything in His name because of our relationship with Him. I think I gave them this scripture here, the Good News Bible, Ephesians 3:12. If they have it, they'll put that up. I like the way this reads. This says here, in union with Christ. Who are you in union with? Christ. In union with Christ, and through our faith in Him, we have the boldness to go into God's presence with all confidence. Why? Because I'm in union with Him. Because of my union with Him and my what? Faith in Him, I have boldness to go into God's very own presence. Right. With all confidence. Glory to God. So whatever you're facing in life, rest on and lean on and use the name of Jesus. You've been given authority to use it. You have the power of attorney to use it. You have been given the name to use. That's why He said, in my name you shall do this. You shall make disciples in all nations. You shall do what? Mark 16, He said, you shall cast out demons in my name. I believe that, you know, when we have doubt, It affects your faith. So if you begin to doubt, even if it's not strong doubt, doubt is doubt. And if you begin to doubt and you begin to want to look at, well, I did something in the name of Jesus and I didn't see a change, that's doubt. Then you're doubting the power of the name. You're doubting the power and authority in the name. He said, every knee shall bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth at the name of Jesus. So when I speak the name in faith, it must change. It must change. There must be an effect. Because he said, all power or authority is in the name. Let me ask a question. When he was in the earth and he spoke to the winds, did they respond? When he spoke to the demons, did they respond? Yes, he did. Yes, they did. So when we speak in that name, first of all, it has to be in confidence and in faith. That's why it's important that we keep feeding upon this so that faith is there. You know, when faith is there, I mean, how many have used the name of Jesus? And I mean, I must admit, I think there's been a few times where you've used it, you've used the name or spoken in the name, and maybe there wasn't the unction or the faith there. It's important that we keep feeding and feeding so that when we speak in that name, faith is released. Because if you speak the name in faith, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when I speak in faith in the name of Jesus, I am confident and convinced that the power of God has been released in that instance. Right? So that's why it's important to keep feeding upon his word in this area. So that faith is there, that when you lay hands on the sick, it's not your ability, it's his ability. All of the power, all of the authority is invested in that name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, I'm going to continue here for a little bit because I think we need to. I do. I really do. You know, when you hear stories, and I just say it that way, when you hear stories from the past where old-time folks just used the name and spoke the name and just uttered the name, bodies would come off of deathbeds and circumstances would change. And I really believe that's going to increase. I do. It's going to increase. We're going to catch hold of the power that's in that name that you have been given authority to use that name. I've been given the right to use that name. I have the power of attorney to speak on his behalf. That's why when we see men and women of God that have operated in this for many years, will speak to a body in the name of Jesus, and you'll see a change. Because they've operated in it for so long, they've operated in it for so long that there's faith there in the name. That's why Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Rise up and walk." Because why? He spoke the name. He said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Hello. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, I'm excited about the name of Jesus. I don't know about you. Because Jesus is Lord over this United States. Jesus is Lord over New York State. And Jesus is Lord over New York City. Jesus is Lord over Pennsylvania. Jesus is Lord, and you can insert over whatever you want to put in there. He's Lord in Jesus' name. And when you're confronted with something and something comes up, you can stand up and say, "In the name of Jesus, I forbid you to do such and such. I forbid you. I forbid you." Why? Because you've been given the right to use his name. Isn't that what Matthew 18 says? "What things soever I bind on earth are bound in heaven. What things soever I loose on earth are loosed in heaven." Most translations say whatever is... Let's see if we can find a translation on that. I think there's either the New Living or I think the Passion says it similarly. Maybe somebody's got that translation. But I believe, let's just take a moment and let's... Matthew 18, let me just read this in the New Living. The Passion. Yeah, we could read it out of the Passion. That's good enough. Matthew 18. And in the Passion Translation. Says, "Receive this truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be considered to be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you release on earth will be considered to release in heaven." Some translations say, whatever you forbid on earth must already have been forbidden in heaven. So what's forbidden in heaven? Sin, sickness, depression. So if it's forbidden in heaven, I have the power of attorney in the name of Jesus to forbid it here in this earth. And not mince words about it. Stand up bold. In Jesus' name, I forbid you. And whatever I release or whatever I allow must already be allowed in heaven. What's allowed in heaven? Peace, joy, healing. What is it? Salvation. So I release it. I release peace. I release healing. That's why Peter could say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So he was decreeing something. He was releasing something. He was decreeing something. I think the more we meditate on, I'll tell you what I believe will happen. You will begin to see who's in you. Greater is he that is what? In me than he that is in the world. And the more you talk that way, the more you think that way, the more you will act that way. Oh, yeah. You will never be different until you see yourself differently. So you have to see yourself different, and then you will act different. You will talk different. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that it's life to us. Thank you, Father, that we are your disciples. And we thank you for conferring upon us, the church, the body of Christ, the name of Jesus. And Father, we will operate in that name. We will speak that name. We will command devils to move in that name. We will lay hands on the sick in that name, in Jesus' name. And we will make disciples of men in that name, the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you that we've been baptized into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we praise you today and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. That's why our joy can be made full. No more sad days. Because I've been given a name that's above every name. Doesn't mean we're not going to be faced with something. Doesn't mean we're not going to be tempted to worry or to fret. But greater is he that is inside me. Greater is he. He is the name. Hallelujah. Praise God. So before we receive communion, let's extend that offer if you happen to be here with us or you happen to be online. We always extend or make that opportunity available to receive Christ as your Savior. And it says to believe unto righteousness and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we are to do what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ. And confess that he was raised from the dead. Confess him. Confess the Lord Jesus. He is Lord. And believe that he was raised from the dead. So if you believe that and you've never made a profession with your mouth of what you believe in your heart, then this is the opportunity to do that. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe he was sent in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe he died and paid the penalty of sin. He became sin for all mankind. And when sin was paid for, he was raised from the dead. And now I receive him as my Lord. And I will serve him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a scripture Maybe they can pull this up. In Acts 13, verse 33, you know, meth in talks in the Gospels. Well, Acts 13:33. It's a scripture that I didn't read this scripture today, but in Hebrews, it references it. But Acts 13:33, it says, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. When was he begotten? This day. He was begotten the day he was raised from the dead. He wasn't begotten. Begotten means to be born. Well, he wasn't begotten when he took on flesh. He was sinless. So when Mary received the seed, he wasn't begotten at that point. He was the Son of God. He set aside his divine privileges and became a man. He was begotten. He was the firstborn from the dead. He was the first one born again when he said, this day hath what? What does it say? This day thou art my son, and what? This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So that's why when we say, when we become born again, we've entered into a relationship with God through Christ. And we have a relationship with him, and now we have the use of his name. Glory to God. And we can go to the Father and ask in his name. Praise God. So what does that mean? He's basically given us a blank check, signed it in his name, and we can fill it in. Did you ever think about that? You'd never do it, but he did. Well, if we fill out a blank check, we usually give some instructions.